shield on the shoulder? She cocks an eyebrow. That does limit it a bit, I agree. And a wing leader emblem beneath those stars? She teases. Fine, it's his, I whisper quickly as Commandant Panchek takes the dais, followed by Dane's father and the wing leaders. Zayden's damn good at keeping his eyes off me, but I can't say the same, especially when there's little doubt he's about to be sent away and I can still feel his mouth on my skin. I knew it, Rhee grins. Tell me it's good. I broke his window, I wince, and my cheeks heat. Like you threw something at it? Her brow knits. No, as in lightning struck. A lot, and I shattered his window. I glance toward the dais. And look, there he is now, all calm, cool, and collected. My chest tightens as I wonder which is the real version of him. The one standing up there in complete control, ready to command his wing? Or the one I had inside me less than a half hour ago? The one who declared that he doesn't deserve me, but is going to keep me? Zayden looks anything but pleased, and his gaze locks with mine for a millisecond. Fucking war games. Relief and disbelief hit me in equal measure. You're kidding me. We got hauled out of bed for war games? Nope. Damn, Rhiannon grins. I wish someone made me shatter windows. I turn toward her, rolling my eyes. Oh, please, you've had way more. Hey, Atos, Rhiannon says, leaning on my shoulder and quickly draping her hand over my collarbone to hide Zayden's insignia and rank. Good morning, huh? Dane looks at Rhiannon like she's drunk too much mead as he approaches the squad. Not really, no, he glances over the rest of us. I know it's early, or late, depending on your night, but we've spent all year training for this. So wake the hell up. He turns to face the dais as Panchek takes the podium. Thanks, I whisper to Rhiannon as she stands back at my side. I'm not up for listening to Dane lecture me about my choices. Not tonight. Riders Quadrant, Panchek shouts, his voice carrying across the courtyard. Welcome to the last event of this year's War Games. A murmur rips through the formation. The alert that sounded is similar to what it would have been if this were a real-life attack, to see how fast you would muster. And we will continue this exercise as if it is. Were the borders to be simultaneously attacked and the wards faltering, you would all be called into service to reinforce the wings. Colonel Atos, would you do us the honor of reading the scenario? Dane's dad steps forward, scroll in hand, and begins to read. The moment we've dreaded has arrived. The wards we've dedicated our lives to upholding are falling. And there has been an unprecedented, multi-level attack along our borders, putting villages under siege from drifts of Griffin riders. Mass casualties among civilians and infantry are already being reported, as are the deaths of multiple riders. He's laying on the melodrama pretty thick. As we would if you were a battle-ready force, we are sending your wings in every direction. He continues, focusing on each wing until coming to ours. Fourth wing to the southeast. Each squad will pick which outpost they will reinforce within that region. He holds up a finger. Choices are first come, first served. Wing leaders, however, will be assigned to theirs for the purposes of determining a headquarters for this exercise. He turns to each wing leader, giving out orders, but glances in our direction, no doubt looking for Dane, before he turns toward Zayden. Something about the way his smile slips for a heartbeat makes the hair rise on the back of my neck. Ryerson, you'll establish your headquarters for Fourth Wing at Athbean. Wing leaders, assemble your headquarters squads at your own discretion, pulling from any and all riders within your wings. Consider this a test of leadership, and there are no limitations in a real-world scenario. You will receive the updated orders once you reach your selected outposts for this 5-day exercise. He steps back. Athbean? That's beyond the wards. That's where Zayden flew his secretive mission. My gaze seeks out his, but he's focused on the colonel.
5 whole days? This is going to be so much fun, Heaton exclaims with terrifying glee, running their hand over their purple flames dyed into their hair. We're going to pretend war.
Yeah, Imogen adds quietly. I think we are.
Just like real life, you squad leaders need to make your choices quickly. Then report to the flight field within 30 minutes, Panchek decrees. You're dismissed.
Tarn?
Already moving.
We're going to claim the outpost at El Tuval, the northernmost one in our assigned region, Dane says, turning around to face us as Rhiannon leans over my shoulder again, blocking Zayden's insignia. I'm not getting stuck at some coastal outpost when we know that's not how Poromiel would choose to attack. Anyone have a problem with that? We all shake our heads. Good. Then you heard the Commandant. You have 30 minutes to change, pack what you can carry for 5 days, and get your asses to the flight field. Formation breaks, and we all scurry to our dormitory rooms.
What do you think our orders will be when we get there? Rhiannon asks as we force our way through the bottleneck of cadets all trying to get into the barracks. More eggs to hunt?
Guess we're about to find out.
It takes 10 minutes to wrap my knees and support my shoulders for a long flight, then dress in my own flight leathers. It takes another 5 minutes to detangle my hair from Zayden's handling and braid it, which leaves me exactly 5 to pack. I throw Zayden's jacket in my rucksack just in case anyone snoops through my room while I'm gone.
Wear every single dagger you own, Zayden demands, startling me.
I'm already wearing 12, I continue throwing items into my overnight pack.
Good.
I'll see you on the flight field, right? If he leaves without saying goodbye, I'm going to track him down and kill him myself.
Yes.
His reply is curt, but I finish packing and head out, meeting Rhiannon and Liam in the hallway. A buzz of excitement accompanies the crowd as we make our way to the flight field, taking rations the kitchen staff hands out near commons on our way. No doubt we'll be eating breakfast mid-flight. When we arrive, it takes me a second to absorb the sight. Every dragon from the quadrant fills the field, standing in the same formation we keep in the courtyard, and hundreds of mage lights float overhead like hovering stars, giving the space an otherworldly feel. As though we're in a great hall instead of on the flight field. It's beautiful and menacing at the same time. There's a nervous mix of energy and anticipation, and more than one person hurling up whatever they've had to drink as the field floods with riders.
We're going to win, Rhiannon states as we make our way through the wings amid way too many snarling dragons and snapping teeth.
We're not the only ones anxious tonight.
We're the best. We'll win. Her face is set in lines of determination. I can almost taste that squad leader designation for next year.
You'll get it, I tell her, then turn toward Liam as we approach our section.
What about you? Want to distinguish yourself with glory so you can rise to squad leader?
He's a shoo-in with his hand-to-hand skills and stellar marks in classes.
We'll see.
He's unusually tense as we keep walking.
We make it to our dragons, and I can't help but notice that Taryn is standing in what could be Kath's spot, forcing Dane's dragon to the side as Dane does a head count.
My egotistical dragon is already saddled with Andarna under his wing.
Shit, they're going to force Andarna to keep up with us.
And if we take enemy fire, then you'll find the first available cover and hide, just like last scenario. You're too shiny for your own good,
Taryn tells her.
All right. What are you wearing? I ask Andarna, who struts out from under Taryn's wing with her head held high, boasting a contraption that reminds me of a saddle but isn't.
The wing leader had it made for me. See? It hooks to Taryn's.
I can't help but smile as I see the shape of the triangle on Andarna's back, that I'm sure fits the one on Taryn's chest. It's amazing.
It's just in case I can't keep up. Now I can come along.
Just another reason to adore Zayden.
Well, I love it, I turn to Tarn, who's busy snapping at Kath to give him more room.
Need me to attach anything?
I have it handled.
I'm sure you do.
Then it hits me. 5 days. Damn. Are you going to be all right if you're
Second squad, Dane calls out. Prepare for a 4-hour first leg of our flight. We'll need to keep a tight formation for the first 15 minutes as the squads disperse.
He glances my way, then over my shoulder.
Wing leader?
I pivot and see Zayden striding our way, the hilts of 2 swords strapped to his back rising above his shoulders, and my throat closes. How am I supposed to say goodbye to him in front of all these people? And worse, how are our dragons going to cope?
Don't worry, Silver One,
Tarn interjects, his tone resolved.
Everything is as it should be.
How can I help you? Dane bites out, his shoulders straightening.
I need you, Zayden says to me.
I'm sorry, Dane retorts before I can even nod.
Relax. He just wants to say goodbye, I explain.
If you're saying goodbye, it's to him, Zayden corrects, nodding at Dane. I'm constructing my headquarters squad, and you're coming with me. So are Liam and Imogen.
My jaw unhinges. I'm what?
The fuck you are, Dane barks, stepping forward. She's a first year, and Athbeen is beyond the wards.
Zayden blinks.
I don't hear you giving me the same argument about Mari.
I look over my shoulder, and sure enough, Liam stands with his chin raised in front of Day. It's almost as if he expected this.
What is going on? I ask Zayden.
Liam is the best cadet among the first years, even with you assigning him guard duty over Violet, Dane argues, folding his arms across his chest. And Sorengale wields lightning,
Zayden counters, taking a step closer so his arm brushes my shoulder.
And not that I owe you an explanation, second year.
Because I don't.
But Sigale and Tarn can't be separated for longer than a few days.
Of course. Now it makes sense.
That you know of, Dane exclaims. Or can you honestly tell me Sigale was at her wit's end when you showed up at Montserrat? You've never fully tested how long they can be apart. Feel like asking her yourself? Zayden quips, arching a brow. A low growl rumbles as Sigale stalks forward. Menace gleaming in her eyes. My heart launches into my throat on Dane's behalf. It doesn't matter how often I'm around her. There's always a part of me that sees her as the death sentence she is.
Don't do this. Riders are known to die during war games, and she's safer with me, Dane argues.
Anything could happen once we're away from Besgaeth, let alone you taking her beyond the wards.
I'm not dignifying that with a response. This is an order. Dane's eyes narrow.
Or has this been your plan all along?
To separate her from her squad so you can use her to get your need for revenge on her mother.
Dane! I shake my head at him. You know that's not going to happen.
Do I? He fires back.
He's made a big deal out of the whole if she dies, I die thing. But do you know it for a fact? Do you know Tarn won't survive your death? Or has it all been a ploy to earn your trust, Violet?
I suck in a sharp breath. You need to stop right now.
Please, do quit while you're behind, Atos, Zayden seethes.
You want the truth?
She's a fuck of a lot safer with me beyond the wards than she is with you within them. We both know it.
The look in his eyes is similar to the one in Sigale's, and it dawns on me why she chose him. They're both ruthless, both willing to annihilate whatever stands between them and what they want. And Dane is in Zayden's path.
Stop! I put my hand on Zayden's arm. Zayden, stop. If you want me to go with you, I'll go. It's that simple.
His gaze shifts to meet mine and immediately softens.
No fucking way,
Dane whispers, but it reverberates in my bones like a lightning strike. I pivot, dropping my hand from Zayden's arm. But it's obvious by Dane's expression that he now knows there's something between Zayden and me. And he's hurt. My stomach hits the ground. Dane!
Him?
Dane's eyes widen and his face flushes.
You and him?
He shakes his head.
People talk, and I thought that's all it was, but you...
Disappointment drops his shoulders.
Don't go, Violet, please. He's going to get you killed.
I know you think Zayden has ulterior motives, but I trust him. He's had every opportunity and has never hurt me. I move toward Dane. At some point, you have to let this go.
Dane looks horrified for a second, but quickly masks it.
If he's what you choose, he sighs.
Then I guess that has to be enough for me, doesn't it?
Yes, I nod. Thank gods all this nonsense is about to be past us. He swallows hard and leans in to whisper.
I'll miss you, Violet.
Then he pivots on his heel and heads for Kath.
Thank you for trusting me, Zayden says as I reach Tarn's foreleg.
Always.
We have to ride.
He pauses like he's going to say more, but turns away instead. As he heads back to Sigale, I can't help but note both of the important men are walking away from me right now, in opposite directions. And given the one I've chosen to follow, my life is about to change forever.
Chapter 34.
A quote from Navarre, An Unedited History, by Colonel Lewis Markham.
The first known Griffin attack occurred in 1 AU, after unification, near what is now the trading post of Resen. At the edge of the dragon-protected border, the post has always been vulnerable to attack and, over the course of the past 6 centuries, has changed hands no less than 11 times in what has become a never-ending war to secure our borders from our power-hungry enemies.
We fly into the morning and then the afternoon, and when Andarna can't keep up, she hooks onto Terran's harness mid-flight. She's asleep by the time Zayden chooses to skirt the thousands-foot-high cliffs of Draelor that give Tirndor a geological advantage over every province in the kingdom, over every province on the continent, really, and go around instead, heading into the mountains north of Athbeen. There's a pulling sensation in my chest, then a snap as we cross the barrier of the wards.
It feels different, I tell Tarn. Without the wards, magic is wilder here. It's easier for dragons to communicate within the wards. The wing leader will have to take that into account when commanding his wing from this outpost.
I'm sure he's already thought of that. It's nearly 1 o'clock in the afternoon as we approach Athbeen, stopping, at the orders of the dragons, at a lake closest to the outpost so they can drink. The surface of the lake is smooth as glass, reflecting the jagged peaks in front of us with breathtaking accuracy before the riot lands on the shoreline and sends ripples over the water in tiny shockwaves. A thick forest of trees and heavy boulders surround one edge of the water, and nearby grass is trampled, which means we're not the first riot to rest here. There are 10 dragons in all with us, and though I might not recognize each one of them, I know that Liam and I are the only first years in the group. Day lands beside Tarn, and Liam jumps from his seat like we haven't just spent 7 hours in the sky.
You both need to drink and probably eat something, I tell them as I unbuckle from the saddle.
My thighs are sore and cramping, but it's not quite as bad as it was at Montserrat. The extra hours in the saddle this last month have helped. Tarn pops a talon onto a latch, and Andarna plops to the ground, shaking her head, body, then tail.
And you need to sleep, Tarn replies. You've been up all night.
I'll sleep when you do. Navigating his spikes carefully, I slide down his foreleg to the mossy edge of the shore.
I can go for days without sleep. I'd rather you not fire off lightning bolts out of sleep deprivation.
It's on the tip of my tongue to retort that it takes effort to wield lightning, but after I shattered Zayden's window last night, I'm not sure I have any expertise on the subject. Or maybe it's just Zayden who makes me lose control. Either way, I'm dangerous to be around. I'm surprised Carr hasn't given up on me. It's strange to be beyond the wards, I say, changing the subject. Taren's talons dig into the soil as Liam approaches, stretching his neck high above his shoulders. From the general agitation of the riot, I wonder if it's something they all feel, this wrongness in the air that has the hairs on the back of my neck standing on end.
We're 20 minutes out from Athbeen, so hydrate. We have no idea what kind of scenario is waiting for us, Zayden calls out, his voice carrying over the squad. You doing all right? Liam asks, coming my way as Taren and Andarna both take the few steps they need to access the water.
Stay with Taren, I tell Andarna. She's a shiny target this far from the protection of the Vale. I will. Gods, I should have left her at Bezgaeth. What the hell was I thinking bringing her out here? She's just a kid, and this flight has been grueling.
It was never your choice, Taren lectures. Humans, even bonded ones, do not decide where dragons fly. Even one as young as Andarna knows her own mind.
His words bring little comfort. When push comes to shove, I'm responsible for her safety. Violet? Concern furrows Liam's brow. If I say I'm not sure, will you think less of me? There are so many ways to answer that question. Physically, I'm sore but fine, but mentally? Well, I'm a mess of anxiety and anticipation for what the war games will bring. We were warned the quadrant always loses 10% of the graduating class in the final test. But it's more than that. I just can't put my finger on it.
I'd think you're being honest.
I glance to the left and see Zayden deep in conversation with Garrick. Naturally, the section leader made the cut for Zayden's personal squad. Zayden looks my way, our eyes locking for a second, and that's all it takes to remind my body that I had him naked a few hours ago, the lines of his carved muscles straining against my skin. I'm so damned in love with that man. How am I supposed to keep it off my face? Just be professional. That's all I have to do. Though the way I'm hyper aware of each and everything he's said and done since leaving his bedroom pretty much makes me a walking example of why first years shouldn't sleep with their wing leaders, let alone fall in love with them. Good thing he's only my wing leader for another week or so.
Keep looking at me like that and we'll be stopped longer than a half hour, he warns without looking at me.
Promise? His gaze whips my way and I swear I see him actually smile before turning back toward Garrick.
You doing all right with whatever is going on there?
Liam asks, startling me. And if I tell you I'm not sure, I give him the same answer, my lips curving.
I'd think you got yourself in over your head.
The look on his face is anything but teasing now. For someone who said he owes Zayden everything, that's not a glowing recommendation. I drop my pack to the ground and roll the tense muscles of my shoulders. Don't turn into Dane on me.
You feeling all right?
Zayden asks. Fine, just a little sore. The last thing I want is to be a burden for him.
It's not that, Liam grimaces.
It's just that I know his priorities. I'm really sorry you got dragged along on my account, I say quietly so the others won't hear. You should be at one of the Midland posts with Dane, not being hauled past the wards. Colonel Atos is a fair man, but I have no doubt this assignment is meant to give the marked wing leader his due. I finish the last in a fair imitation of Dane's dad, and Liam rolls his eyes. I'm not scared. No one is hauling me, and believe it or not, Violet, sometimes my orders actually don't revolve solely around you. I do have other skills, you know. he teases with a grin, flashing a dimple as he hip-checks me.
I've never once forgotten how amazing you are, Liam. And I mean it.
He coughs and I gesture him off.
Now, I need a moment of privacy.
He bows with a wave of a hand, as though introducing me to the forest behind us, and I head off into their shadowy depths. When I return to the shore of the lake, Zayden walks away from Garrick and holds out his hand as he approaches. My eyebrows rise.
Is he?
No.
He wouldn't, not in front of the 8 other cadets. He laces his fingers with mine.
Guess he would.
It's more than the touch of his skin that has my pulse leaping. He's breaking his own rule. I glance pointedly toward where the others are gathered, all in various states of relaxation by the shore, but my hand tightens around his.
None of them is going to say a single word about you, or us. I trust every single person here with my life,
he says, leading me toward a cluster of boulders almost twice his height on the far side of the lake.
People talk. Let them. I'm not ashamed of loving him, and I can handle any mean-spirited gossip that comes my way.
You say that now, his jaw flexes. Did you get enough to drink or eat?
I brought everything I needed in my pack. You don't have to worry about me.
Worrying about you is 99% of what I do.
His thumb strokes the back of my hand.
When we make it to the outpost, I want you to rest after we get our scenario objective.
Liam will stay, while I most likely take the 3rd years out to patrol.
I want to help, I immediately protest. Wasn't that why he brought me for my lightning? Not that I'm exactly winning any accuracy awards, but still.
You can after you rest up. You have to be at full strength to wield that signet of yours, or you'll risk burning out. Terran is too powerful.
He makes a decent point, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. Once we're out of sight of the others, he backs me against the largest boulder and then lowers into a crouch before me.
What are you doing? I run my fingers through his hair just because I can. The fact that I get to touch this man is absolutely mind-blowing, and I plan on taking every advantage of the privilege while I can.
Your legs are stiff. He starts at my calves, working the knots loose with his strong hands.
I guess we can't really leave until the dragons are ready anyway, right?
His touch feels downright decadent.
Right. We have another 10 minutes or so.
He flashes a wicked grin at me. 10 minutes. Considering we really have no idea what the rest of the day will bring, I'm more than happy to grab a hold of what time we have. I groan as my muscles melt and my head falls back to rest on the boulder.
That hurts so wonderfully. Thank you.
He laughs, making his way up to the tense muscles of my thighs.
Trust me. My motives aren't altruistic violence. I'll take any excuse I can get to put my hands on you.
The scruff on his cheek scrapes my palms as I slide my hands down the sides of his face to cup the back of his neck. The feeling is more than mutual. His breathing changes when he reaches the top of my thighs, his fingers kneading my muscles into outright submission.
I'm sorry about this morning.
What? He looks up at me, the sunlight catching the gold specks in his eyes, and arches his scarred brow.
We were in the middle of something, if you don't remember.
A slow smile spreads across my face. Oh, I remember. The top button of his flight jacket is undone, and I grab the fabric and tug him toward me. At what point is this constant craving for him going to be assuaged? I've had him multiple times in the past 24 hours and could still go another round or 3.
Is it wrong to wish we'd had time to finish?
Not sure I'll ever be finished.
He rises, every plane of his body caressing mine on the way up.
I'm way too fucking greedy when it comes to you.
He slants his head over mine and blurs out the rest of the world with a slow, luxurious kiss. His tongue slides between my parted lips to glide against mine, like he has absolutely no other plans for the day but to memorize every corner of my mouth. My entire body flares to life, then starts to simmer when he kisses a path down my throat. He palms my waist, pulling my curves flush with his hard angles, and I'm nothing but heat and need. My heart pounds so hard, it sounds like wing beats in my ears. Gods, I'll never get enough of this. He groans, one hand sliding to my ass.
Tell me what you're thinking.
I wind my arms around his neck. I was thinking you are exactly as I predicted the first time you took me in my room.
Oh, yeah?
He draws back, curiosity sparking in his eyes.
And what exactly was that?
A very dangerous addiction. My gaze skims over the silver line of his scar, the thick lashes so many women would kill for, and over the bump in his nose to that perfectly sculpted mouth. I've already told him that I love him, so it's not like I'm keeping secrets over here. Hell, compared to him, I'm an open book. Impossible to sate. His eyes darken.
I'm going to keep you,
he promises, just like he did last night. Or was it this morning?
You're mine, Violet.
I lift my chin. Only if you're mine.
I've been yours for longer than you could ever imagine.
As if the words untether him, he clutches the nape of my neck and kisses me long and hard, stealing every breath, every thought beyond the sweep of his tongue and the rising tide of need that heats my skin. Zayden yanks his mouth away with a gasp, breaking the kiss and cocking his head to the side as if listening for something. What's wrong? I ask. He's gone rigid beneath my arms. Shit. His eyes widen as he drags his gaze back to mine. Violet, I'm so sorry.
Is this seriously how you dragon riders spend your time?
A woman asks from behind Zayden, her voice like velvet dragged over a gravel road. He spins around so quickly he's a blur. Shadows envelop me, thick as a thundercloud. I can't see shit. Zayden! Someone yells and multiple pairs of feet come crashing through the brush. Bodhi, perhaps?
Silly to hide what's already been seen,
the woman says, her tone curt. And if rumors are true, there's only one silver-haired rider in your death factory of a college, which means that's General Sorengale's youngest.
Fuck, Zayden swears. I need you to stay calm, Violence.
Calm? Shadows fall away, and I leave my hands loose at my sides in case I need to grab a dagger or wield, sidestepping Zayden so I can see. A pair of griffin riders stands in the meadow about 30 feet away, their beasts eerily silent behind them. They're a third of the size of our dragons, but those beaks and claws look capable of shredding skin and scale just the same.
Tairn! Coming!
Stay with Sigale, I order Andarna.
The griffins look tasty from here, she responds.
They're the same size you are, no. A fucking Sorengale.
The woman looks only a few years older than me, but she has the look of a veteran rider. She arches a dark brow, looking at me like I'm something that needs to be shoveled out of the horse stalls. The sound of beating wings fills the air as a handful of dragon riders barrel into the space around us. Imogen, Bodhi, a third year with a scarred lip I recognize. Liam. But no one is reaching for a weapon. At least the odds are in our favor now. Power unfurls under my skin, and I throw open that archive's door, letting energy rush over me in a torrent of scalding heat. The sky crackles. No! Zayden turns and hauls me against his chest, wrapping his arms around me and pinning my arms to my sides. What are you doing? I throw my weight against Zayden, but it's no use. He has me locked down tight. A gust of wind hits my right side as Taren lands.
Holy shit, that one is huge, the woman says.
Around Zayden's immovable arm, I see the Griffin riders retreat with quick steps, their eyes flying wide as they look up. Zayden lifts one hand to cup the nape of my neck as I look up at him. What the actual fuck is he doing? Kissing me before we die?
If you have ever trusted me, Violet, I need you to do it now.
The plea in his eyes leaves me stunned. Our enemies are feet away, and he wants to have a moment?
Just stay here. Stay calm.
His eyes search mine for an answer to a question I haven't been asked. Then he passes me to Liam. Passes me, like I'm a damned rucksack. Liam pins my arms to my sides with careful but unyielding strength.
I'm sorry about this, Violet.
Why the hell is everyone apologizing?
Let me go!
I demand as Zayden strides toward the pair of Griffin riders, Garrick at his side. Fear squeezes my heart like a vice that he thinks he can take on the Griffins and their riders himself.
I can't do that, Liam apologizes, his voice lowering. I really wish I could.
Taren roars from my right so hard that spit flies, smacking Liam in the face and making my ears ring. Liam drops his hands and backs away slowly, putting his palms up.
Got it. Point made. No touching.
Free from his grip, I spin toward the field as Zayden reaches the riders.
You're fucking early, he says.
And my heart stops. Chapter 35.
A quote from Navarre, An Unedited History by Colonel Lewis Markham.
In his last days of interrogation, Fenn Ryerson lost touch with reality, railing against the Kingdom of Navarre. He accused King Tari and all who came before him of a conspiracy so vast, so unspeakable, that it does not bear repeating by this historian. The execution was swift and merciful for a madman who cost untold lives. Somehow, I managed to keep breathing, which is impressive given my heart feels like it might shatter in a million pieces and narrow my gaze on the enemy. I've never seen a Griffin rider before. The dragons usually burn them to ash, along with their half-eagle, half-lion mounts.
What happened to meeting tomorrow? We don't have a full shipment, Zayden says to the Griffin rider, his voice calm and even.
The shipment isn't the issue, the woman says, shaking her head. Unlike our black, the riders' leathers are brown, matching the darker feathers of their beasts, who are currently staring at me like I'm dinner.
If they try anything, they'll be a snack, Taren says.
Shipment. I barely process what Taren says through the shock of the rider's words. And Zayden knows them. He's working with them, aiding our enemy. Betrayal cuts my throat like glass as I try to swallow. This is why he's been sneaking off from the quadrant.
So you were waiting nearby to chat on the off chance that we'd fly by a full day early? Zayden asks.
We were patrolling from Draithus yesterday. It's about an hour southeast from here.
I know where Draithus is, Zayden retorts.
Never know. You Navarians act like nothing exists beyond your borders, the male Griffin rider snarks. I don't know why we're bothering to warn them.
Warn us? Zayden's head cocks to the side.
We lost a village in the vicinity to a horde of Venon 2 days ago. They decimated everything.
I startle, my eyes flying wide.
She just said what?
Venon never come this far west, Imogen says from my left.
Venon?
Yep, that's what they both said. What the actual hell? I'd think someone was fucking with me if not for the two enormous griffins looming behind the pair of riders. But no one is laughing.
Until now, the woman replies, turning her gaze back to Zayden. They were unmistakably Venon, and had one of their—
Don't say anything else, Zayden interrupts. You know that none of us can know the details, or we put everything at risk. All it takes is one of us being interrogated.
Are you getting this? I ask Taryn, glancing left and right to see if anyone else noticed the pure ridiculousness spewing from the woman's mouth. But everyone else looks horrified, like they actually believe a village was destroyed by mythical creatures.
Unfortunately, yes.
Details are not. It looks like the Horde is heading north, the male says, straight toward our trading post on the border across from your garrison at Athbeen. Are you armed?
We're armed, Zayden admits.
Then our job here is done. You've been warned, the male says. Now we have to go defend our people. As it is, this side trip only gives us about an hour to reach them in time.
Instantly, the atmosphere changes, intensifies, and the riders around me seem to brace for something. Zayden looks over his shoulder at me, and instead of laughing at the utter absurdity of what they're discussing, his face is set in grim lines.
If you think you'll ever convince a Sorengil to risk their neck for anyone outside their own borders, then you're a fool, the man says with a sneer in my direction.
Power sizzles painfully beneath my skin, demanding an outlet. The man leans slightly to the side and looks me up and down in obvious judgment.
I wonder what your king would be willing to pay in order to get back the daughter of his most illustrious general. I'm willing to bet your ransom would be worth enough weaponry to defend all of Drathus for a decade.
Ransom?
Oh, I think not.
Taryn snarls.
Fuck, Bodhi mutters, moving closer to me.
Try. I dare you. I crook my fingers at them, releasing just enough power that light flashes within the clouds above us.
Shadows race menacingly from the pine trees on the edge of the meadow as Zayden raises his hands at his sides, and both griffin riders tense when the darkness pauses only inches from their feet.
You take a step toward that, Sorengil, and you'll be dead before you can even shift your weight, Zayden says, his voice dropping lethally. She's not up for discussion.
The woman glances at the shadows, then sighs.
We'll be there with the rest of our drift. Just signal if you can get away from the disbelievers.
She walks away, leading the man back toward their griffins. They mount within seconds and launch skyward. Every head turns toward me with looks that vary from expectation to something akin to fear, and my stomach sinks. No one was surprised at the griffin rider's familiarity or throwing words like Venon around, and they all knew Zayden was aiding the enemy. I'm the outsider here.
Good luck, Ryerson.
Imogen tucks a piece of her pink hair behind her ear, her rebellion relic peeking out above the sleeve of her flight leathers as she turns to give us space. My stomach drops and my mind races, grasping for anything but the obvious, devastating truth as they all slowly follow Imogen back toward the lake. There's a rebellion relic winding up a third year's forearm as he passes in front of me.
Garrick's here. He's a section leader, but he's
here, not with any of the flame section squads. So are Bodhi and Imogen. That brunette rider with a nose ring is Soleil, I think, and that's definitely a relic on her left forearm. The second year from claw section?
He has one too. And Liam.
Liam is at my side.
Taryn,
I keep my breath as even as possible as Zayden stares at me, his face masked like an emotionless wingleader.
Silver One,
Taryn's giant head swings in my direction.
They all carry rebellion relics,
I tell him. Everyone in this squad besides me is the child of a separatist. In the chaos of the flight field, Zayden constructed an all-marked squad. And they're all fucking traitors. And I fell for it. I fell for him.
Yes, they are,
he agrees, resignation in his tone. My chest threatens to cave in as it truly hits me. This is so much worse than just Zayden betraying me, betraying our entire kingdom. There's only one explanation as to why my own dragons have been so damn docile in the presence of the enemy. You and Endarna lied to me, too. The treachery of it is too much, and my shoulders dip from the weight of it. You knew what he was doing. We both chose you, Endarna says, like that makes it any better. But you knew. I look past where Liam dares to stare at me with sorrow, to Tarn, whose lethal focus lies straight ahead, like he hasn't quite decided if he's going to burn Zayden alive or not.
Dragons are bound by bonds, he explains as Zayden approaches. There is only one other bond more sacred than that of a dragon and its rider.
A dragon and its mate. Everyone knew but me. Even my own dragons. Oh God, is Dane right? Has everything Zayden's done been a ploy to earn my trust? The sweet glow of happiness, of love, trust, and affection that burned so brightly in my chest just a few minutes ago sputters painfully, gasping for oxygen like a campfire put out by a bucket of water once it outlives its usefulness. All I can do is watch as the embers drown and die. Zayden watches me with increasing apprehension the closer he comes, like I'm some kind of cornered animal about to fight her way out with teeth and claws. How was I ever foolish enough to trust him? How did I ever fall for him? My lungs ache and my heart screams. This can't be happening. I can't be this naive. But I guess I am, because here we are. His entire body is a fucking warning, especially the dark relic that's so glaringly visible on his neck right now. His father may have been the great betrayer, may have cost my brother his life, but Zayden's treachery cuts just as deep. He flinches as my eyes narrow into a glare. Were we ever really friends? I whisper at Liam, searching for the strength to yell.
We are friends, Violet. But I owe him everything,
Liam answers, and when I glance up, he's watching me with so much misery that I almost feel sorry for him.
Almost. We all do. And once you give him a chance to explain,
there it is. Anger rushes to my aid, overpowering the hurt.
You watched me train with him! I shove at Liam's chest, and he stumbles backward through the grass. You stood by and watched me fall for him!
Oh, shit. Bodhi laces his hands behind his thick neck. Violence, let me explain, Zayden says.
He's always known my true nature, and honestly, the shadows should have clued me into his. He's a master of secrets.
Unspent power ripples in my very bones as I turn my back on Liam to face Zayden. If you even think about touching me, I swear I'll fucking kill you.
My power flares with my rage and lightning cracks across the sky, jumping from cloud to cloud.
I think she means it, Liam warns. I know she does.
Zayden's jaw ticks as our gazes collide and hold.
Everybody go back to the shore, now.
He watches me with apprehension as he draws closer.
I know what you're thinking, Zayden says in that deceptively soft voice of his, and there's a flicker of fear in those onyx depths.
You have no idea what I'm thinking,
fucking traitor.
You're thinking I've betrayed our kingdom.
Logical guess. Good for you.
Another bolt of lightning whips free, streaking cloud to cloud.
You're working with griffin riders?
I leave my arms loose at my sides just in case I need my hands free to wield, though I know I'm no match for him,
Not yet.
Gods, you're such a cliché, Zayden. You're a villain hiding in plain fucking sight.
He winces. Actually, they're called flyers, Zayden says softly, holding my gaze. And I might be the villain to some, but not you.
I'm sorry? Are we seriously arguing the semantics of your treason?
Dragons have riders. The griffins have flyers.
Which you know because you're in league with them.
I retreat a few steps so I don't act on the overwhelming urge to punch him in the face.
You're working with our enemy.
Did you ever once stop to think that sometimes you can start out on the right side of a war and end up on the wrong one?
In this particular case, no. I point toward the shore. I was trained as a scribe, remember? All we've done is defend our borders for 600 years. They're the ones who won't accept peace as a solution. What shipments have you been giving them?
Weapons. My stomach hits the ground.
That they use to kill dragon riders?
No. He shakes his head emphatically. These weapons are only to fight venom.
My jaw unhinges. Venom are the stuff of fables. Like the book my father...
I blink. The letter. What had he written? Folklore is passed from one generation to the next to teach us about our past. Was he trying to say...
No. That's impossible.
They're real, Zayden says softly, like he's trying to lessen a blow.
You're saying people who can somehow tap into the source of magic without a dragon or griffin to channel, corrupting their power beyond all salvation, actually exist.
I say the word slowly, just so we're crystal clear.
They're not just part of the creation fable?
Yes, his forehead creases. They drained all the magic out of the barrens and then spread like an infestation.
Well, at least that's in keeping with folklore. I fold my arms across my chest. What was the fable again? One brother bonded to griffin, one to dragon, and when the third grew jealous, he drew directly from the source, losing his soul and waging war on the other two.
Yes, he sighs. This was not how I wanted to tell you.
Assuming you were ever going to tell me!
I glance to where Taren watches, his head low, as though he might have to incinerate Zayden at any moment.
Care to add to the discussion?
Not yet. I'd prefer you come to your own conclusion. I chose you for your intelligence and courage, Silver One. Don't let me down.
I barely restrain myself from flipping the middle finger at my own dragon.
Fine. Were I to believe venom exist and roam the continent wielding dark magic, then I'd also have to believe they never attack Navarre because...
My eyes widen at the possibility's logical conclusion.
Because our wards make all non-dragon magic impossible.
Yes, he shifts his weight. They'd be powerless the second they cross into Navarre.
Fuck. That makes sense. And I desperately don't want it to. Which means I would have to believe that we have no clue that poor Emile is being relentlessly, viciously attacked by dark wielders just beyond our borders.
My brow furrows. He glances away and takes a deep breath before looking me in the eye. Or you have to believe that we know and choose to do nothing about it. Indignation lifts my chin.
Why the hell would we choose to do nothing about people being slaughtered? It goes against everything we stand for.
Because the only thing that kills venom is the very thing powering our wards. He doesn't say anything else as we stand there. The only sound, the water lapping against the shore in time with the echo of his words beating against the edges of my heart.
Is this why there have been raids along our borders? They're looking for the material we use to power our wards?
I ask. Not because I believe him, not yet, but because he's not trying to convince me. The truth rarely needs effort, my dad used to say. He nods. The material is forged into weapons to fight the venom. Here, take this.
Raising his right arm, he takes a black-handled dagger from the sheath at his side. I'm brutally aware of every move, horrifyingly aware that he's been able to kill me whenever he wants. And this moment is no different. Though it would have been a swifter death if he'd simply used one of the swords strapped across his back. He moves slowly, extending the dagger as an offering. I take it, noting the sharpened blade, but it's the alloy embedded into the rune-marked hilt that makes me gasp.
You took this from my mother's desk? My gaze jumps to his.
No. Your mother probably has one for the same reason you should. To defend against venom.
There's so much pity in his eyes that my chest tightens. The dagger, the raids, it's all right there. But you told me there was no chance we could be fighting something like this.
I whisper, clinging to the last of my hope that this is all a horrible joke.
No.
He moves closer, reaching for me, and then dropping his hand as if he's thought better of it.
I told you, I would hope that if this threat was out there, our leadership would tell us.
You twisted the truth to suit your needs.
My hand curls around the dagger's hilt, and I feel it hum with power.
Venom are real.
Venom are real.
Yes, and I could lie to you, Violence, but I'm not. No matter what you think right now, I have never lied to you.
Sure, right.
And how do I know this is the truth?
Because it hurts to think we're the kind of kingdom that would do this.
It hurts to rearrange everything you think you know. Lies are comforting. Truth is painful.
I feel the hum of power within the blade and glare at Zayden.
You could have told me at any time, but instead, you hid everything from me.
He flinches. Yes, I should have told you months ago, but I couldn't.
I'm risking everything by telling you now. Because you have to, not because you want.
Because if your best friend sees this memory, everything is lost,
he interrupts, and I gasp. You don't know that.
Dane wouldn't break a rule to save your life, Violet. What do you think he'd do if he had this knowledge?
What would Dane do?
I have to believe he would not put the Codex above people suffering beyond our borders. Or maybe I could have built shields that would have kept Dane from prying. Or maybe he would continue to respect my boundaries and never look in the first place.
I narrow my eyes. But we'll never know, will we? Because you didn't trust me to know the right thing to do, Zayden, did you?
He throws his hands wide.
This is bigger than you and me, Violence. And leadership will stop at nothing to sit behind their wards and keep the venom secret.
His voice is raw as he pleads.
I watched my own father executed trying to help these people. I couldn't risk you, too.
He leans into my space a little more with every word, launching my pulse, but I'm done letting my heart make my head's choices.
You love me, and loved,
I correct him, sidestepping so I can get some fucking space, and then taking it.
Love,
he shouts, stopping me in my tracks and earning us a glance from every rider within hearing distance.
You love me.
One of those little embers in my chest tries to come back to life, and I squash it before it has the chance to burn.
Slowly, I turn to face him. Everything I feel.
I swallow, fighting to hold on to the anger so I don't fall apart.
Felt for you was based on secrets and deception.
Shame burns in my cheeks that I was naive enough to fall for him in the first place.
Everything between us is real, Violence.
The intensity with which he says it hurts my heart even more.
The rest I can explain with enough time. But before we get to our assigned outpost, I need to know if you believe me.
I glance at the dagger and hear the words in my father's letter as surely as if he'd spoken them.
I know you'll make the right choice when the time comes.
He warned me the only way he could have. Through books.
Yes, I say, handing the dagger back to Zayden. I believe you. That doesn't mean I trust you anymore.
Keep it.
His posture softens in relief. I sheathe it at my thigh. You're giving me a weapon after just telling me that you've been deceiving me for months, Ryerson?
Absolutely. I have another. And if what that flyer says is true, and Venon are headed north, then you might need it. I never lied when I said I can't live without you, Violence.
He backs away slowly, his lips curving in a sad smile.
And defenseless women have never been my type, remember?
I'm not remotely ready to joke around with him.
Let's just get to Athbeen.
He nods, and a few minutes later, we're mid-flight.
We know we didn't lie. We just didn't tell you everything,
Andarna says, flying in the pocket of air behind Tarn with the least wind resistance as we make our way to the outpost.
That's lying by omission, I argue.
There's a lot of that going around today.
She's right, Golden One.
Tension radiates through every line of Tarn's body and the very beats of his wings.
You have every right to be angry,
he banks, following the mountain range along the border. The straps on my saddle bite into my thighs.
We made a choice to protect you, without your consent. It was an error, and one that I won't make again.
The guilt he feels overwhelms my own emotions, melting the hottest of my anger. And I begin to think. Really, truly think. If Venon exist, we'd have record. And yet there weren't any copies of the Fables of the Baron in the archives. The one location Navarre should have a copy of every book written and transcribed